Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us three times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sarah and Vinny on Alice at 97.3.
Alice at 97.3. Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. Thank you so much for listening. Happy hump day. Tonight is Big Brother.
All right.
So excited about that. Oh, God, that show's great. I don't know why you're not watching it. I was looking at the TV ratings this morning. No one watches that show.
Oh, it's Big Brother's not highly rated?
Well, sometimes it'll break into the top 10, like one.
You can't be surprised about that. I am.
That I had page 2.
Yeah, oh, where is it?
Brother is Wednesday's Big Brother, CBS, 6.2 million viewers.
And what number was it ranked?
8.
Oh, it did make the top 10. Oh, that's great.
And then number 10 and 11, 10 is Sunday's Big Brother at 5.98 million. Number 10 is Sunday's Big Brother, 5.98 million.
Okay, here's why I'm surprised, though, because this is summer programming that's new. So is it being beat by reruns?
Yes. There's always a Big Bang Theory going. There's always like a rerun of that or...
An NCIS is on here.
Yep,
it also made number 14, Friday's Big Brother, 5.4 million.
Oh.
So that show's on every day?
No, it's on Wednesday, Thursday, and Sunday. And last week, it was also on Friday.
All right. At number 19 was Phelps versus Shark.
Oh, did you hear about the Facebook Live he did?
Yeah, he is so bummed out.
He's bummed out?
He's bummed out because people are just all...
Did you hear any of that audio?
I didn't hear any of the audio, but I know that most people felt like, well, we all knew it was a dumb stunt anyway. So I don't know what people expected. Like, you think he was going to, you know, open a wound in his foot and then try to race the shark?
Yeah.
I don't know what people thought they would. He's our most highly decorated Olympian. You think they were going to put him anywhere near a shark?
No, absolutely. No one thought that, except for these people who apparently are stupid. number one was Tuesday's America's Got Talent. And that always, in the summer, that just kills. Game of Thrones was number 2. It's, cable doesn't always make it in here, but it had 9.3 million viewers for that. This is not counting all the DVR stuff. Then a 60 Minutes, World of Dance, Big Bang Theory repeat, and NCIS repeat, and The Bachelorette was number 7. Celebrity Trash is brought to you by Jumpstart MD. Call 1-855-JUMPSTART and get a jump on summer and a healthier you. Okay. Justin Bieber canceled the remainder of his tour. So everyone's like, what? What now? And especially like the people in his crew are like, what? What now? How are we getting paid for the rest of the time that we had allotted for you?
Oh.
But that's not what the beginning of this story. This is, there's a place called Hillsong Church.
Oh, it's super famous.
Is it?
Yeah, they write a lot of music and it's a lot of like, they're not really known for their sermons. They're just known for their music. So it's, I guess, like Christian rock.
Oh, well, that's where Justin Bieber is apparently. He's a parishioner. I don't know. They say it's all about his spiritual awakening, courtesy of the Hillsong Church and its leader. Multiple sources are saying that he abruptly canceled his Purpose Tour, and it's because of his relationship with the founder of the church, a guy named Carl Lentz. TMZ is reporting... Lentz did not advocate canceling the tour. He recommended the opposite. Sources are saying that Justin Bieber's relationship with Lentz has been intense. And the church leaders increasingly influenced the singer in making life decisions. The church didn't tell Justin to cancel the tour. He made the decision based on spiritual soul searching and his own view of the path in life that he should be taken. So that's being reported by TMZ and actually a couple of other outlets. Of course, they immediately take it back and here I think we have a paparazzo running into Justin Bieber and asking him about this.
So it seems like they know where he is all the time. Sure. This is just him crossing a street and this guy just happens to be waiting. I mean, this is just some random place in LA.
So there's nothing. That's nothing. No, you already know the reason.
Well, I feel like there's times where he's expecting the paparazzi, and this guy just came out of nowhere. Like, his head was down, and this guy beelines over to him.
He was surprised.
Yeah, so he wasn't really ready for this one.
Another possible explanation, and Vinny mentioned this earlier, this is a lot more believable than he quit over church. Sources say to Billboard that the tour was successful, but the sales for the last leg were softer than the rest of the sales. Just one of the 14 shows left was sold out, and almost all of them had 5,000 to 12,000 tickets available on the secondary market, often priced well below face value. So that made it hard for him to sell any more tickets. So large sections of these stadiums were left unsold. The other story.
So I don't know what that means, though. You'd think he'd still go through and do the shows.
That's right. They
as still you just
sold
said,
some.
There's a whole crew counting on him. Mm-hmm. And when you start in the business, we both know this, when you start in the music business, almost anyone would advise a young artist, play for anyone, anywhere, anytime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we've had artists come through here and play for right in front of us while we're eating lunch.
Right.
Where you're all...
And frankly, a few of them, and then we call them the baby bands. Oh, we're having a baby band show. And it's a band that, you know, it generally, like, we've had some bigger artists come through the Alice Lounge, too. Like, Pink, I always think about that performance. She blew my freaking mind.
Yeah.
But the first time I ever saw Tori Amos, she came in with a keyboard, sat down, and played some songs. And we all went, whoa, that chick is legit. And, you know, she went on to have a huge career. And you're right. They want you to, they take you on a radio station tour. We're trying to get these people to play your record.
So
let's get in their face.
You have to believe it must be a mix of soft sales, but also he's over the tour just completely. What did you say? He's been on tour for two years.
He's exhausted.
And he's a young man, so he probably feels like, you know what, let's just go home.
You know, the thing about it is, though, he only had 14 dates left, you know, another month. If he could have just stuck it out, he could have just then just quietly went away for as long as he wanted to. And now everyone's like, what's happening? Justin Bieber, a couple hundred people suddenly out of work due to him ending his Purpose tour. And he says that's someone else's responsibility as far as paying these people. So he was leaving the BOA Steakhouse. What's BOA? Bank of America. The Bank of America Steakhouse is all capitalized. I don't know if it's BOA. Anyway, this is on Sunset on Tuesday night with his friend, Patrick Schwarzenegger.
Oh.
They pal around. And he was asked if he had a message for his tour crew.
So he goes out to dinner, and there's someone with a mic about, right. Your crew didn't get to eat steak tonight.
And apparently, there's a little bit of a karma biting him in the ass in this. So this is the other clip we have.
So yeah, so this one he looks prepared for. He's getting into an SUV. He's got his entire posse with him, bodyguards, the whole nine yards. And you're gonna think the clip's over, but it's not. It gets interesting because he
you
rolls
have to
up.
Describe it if it.
Yeah, he rolls up the window. He starts driving away, and then he stops to do the interview with the paparazzi guy.
Oh, okay.
So here it is.
What'd he forget?
He dropped his black Amex out of the car. As he's talking to this dude.
Isn't that crazy?
Oh, thanks, man. Thanks for telling. That would have been bad.
Oh, that would have been really bad.
But I've never seen that.
Good thing he stopped.
You drive away, you stop, you roll down your window, and you give him the interview.
Yeah. He just wants to be clear. Those people aren't my staff. F those people.
Right.
So we stopped the car to give a big F you to everyone who worked on his tour. That's great. Hey, Vinny, you may have already seen this, but if not, can you tell me who this star is? This is a star we all know and love, and her hair is all buzzed off. Any guesses there? It's a profile picture, so it's a little bit harder to tell.
Yeah, I do.
Is it Gal Gadot?
It's not Gal Gadot.
I don't know that guy.
It's Kate Hudson.
Get out of here.
Yeah, she shaved off all her. She pulled a G.I. Jane.
Wait a minute, but she's a brunette here.
Well, my guess is that she's actually a brunette.
You think so?
Probably.
So you think Goldie Hawn's a brunette too?
Probably. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, you know, these are people who can afford to have their hair touched up every other day.
What? So right. She did this for a role, you say?
She did. It looks like she was seen on set Tuesday in L.A., some new film she's working on with Sia.
And she's got a killer profile.
Yeah, she's beautiful. She looks great with no hair.
God, so, we should have done this to you.
No, would you stop it?
Oh, my God.
You know
God.
What? I'll let you someday.
Shave
someday
your head?
I will. Sure.
All right.
Someday. Maybe like the day.
How about tomorrow?
No. It's going to be a while. Like our last day on the air when we're 65 years old.
Then you're going to do it. Right. Right. As you're getting rid of me for good, you're going to be like, you know what, though? Go ahead and shave my head.
You've always wanted to. For 35 years, you've been asking me to shave my head. This is sort of cool. Kelsey Grammer is going to be unveiling his own brewing company.
See, this is weird because he's a junkie.
Right. He's had some addiction
Not some,
issues.
Major.
So he said the only thing that stands in the way of full operation is getting the location up to standard. But so there's a backstory here, and it's kind of cool. He says they're working on it. I guess that because of the location, he's run into some problems. So the brewery is going to be housed in upstate New York on a property he bought decades ago in hopes of revitalizing the town because it holds special meaning to him. The location is a barn on a dairy farm that he used to visit for Thanksgiving when he was a child.
Oh, okay.
And he said it was always his favorite place in the world. And he said it was such a prosperous place, like a beautiful little town, and then it fell on really hard times. And so the whole town's been depressed, and he wants to put a brewery there to employ people from the town and to revitalize the area and sort of bring it back to what he remembers it being as a kid. So he's come up with, I guess he's been brewing some beers and apparently tasting them as well because they've settled on a certain beer and they've named it after his daughter. I guess he has a daughter named Faith and she's his youngest daughter and they've named it Faith American.
All right.
And he's not talking at all about problems that he's had in the past here. I hadn't even remembered them. Leave it to the guy who's had problems to remember all
well,
the problems.
Well, yeah, I mean, I do, those stories are something I can relate to. So I've heard his cocaine addiction was profound. Profound.
Well, maybe he's always been able to handle alcohol and it's the cocaine that was the problem.
Okay.
I don't know. Don't get me.
I don't know either.
Because he's saying he's tasted it all. He said they experimented with flavors of the beer. They settled on for Faith American. It's an ale. And it'll be the first to roll out soon. He says it's fantastic. But I guess that because the property is on a watershed, he said you got to do a lot of stuff for water treatment, waste disposal, all that stuff. And it's important. So we're doing all that. So there you go. It was always his favorite place in the world. And now he's going to bring it back to life by putting a brewery on it.
It's the first article that comes up. He's talking to Vanity Fair about his addictions to cocaine and alcohol.
Funny. Well, I mean, not funny at all. But he feels like brewing a beer is something he can handle.
Mm. All right.
Speaking of people who shaved their heads off and people with addiction problems, Britney Spears, that umbrella that she attacked.
Oh, yeah. In the photo.
Yeah.
The famous photo of her with her shaved head.
Yeah. She's
swinging
outside.
An umbrella at the paparazzi, right?
Yeah. She... Man, it's...
Boy, that's a photo you don't want out there.
You don't. And she's not a great-looking girl with her head shaved either. She looks a little turtle-ish. unlike Kate Hudson, who looks fantastic. I believe that people spotted her in a salon getting her head shaved. Mm-hmm. And this was when she was going to have to get drug tested to keep custody of
that's
her kids.
That's the story, that she shaved her head to...
To get rid of the hair.
Right.
So that no one could drug test her hair to see, you know...
And but... this was that creepy agent that was... Telling her, not only giving her drugs, but telling her what to do.
What the hell was his name?
Sam Lufty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he, thank you,
ding,
Vinny.
Ding.
Good job. Yay. Shame.
I don't know what I'm ringing that for anymore.
The green umbrella.
That's the only button I got.
Right.
So it was a green umbrella, and she, this was 10 years ago.
Dang.
That all this went down, which is crazy. It's getting auctioned. Daniel Ramos is the paparazzi whose car Britney clubbed with the thing. He says he's ready now to part with it. He thinks that she's in a good place. He's making a movie and he needs the dough. And he's floated the idea of selling it in the past. Now it looks like he's ready to do it. He thinks it's going to be, I guess it's going to be on RR Auctions are going to handle it August 10th. And he thinks it's going to be about 50 grand.
Really?
Yeah. Here's the picture. And here's a picture of the dude with the umbrella in question. I guess he walks around with it.
That's the dude, huh? All right.
Uzi, I know you're into hardcore porn and also a show called Hardcore Pawn.
Yes.
So do you know this guy? This is a Pawn Stars cast member.
What's his name?
Chumlee.
Oh, yeah. No, even I know the guy's
Chumlee's
name.
Chumlee's one of the guys, right? Yeah.
So Chumlee, I guess, has this house in Vegas, and I guess it was a big party spot for him. And he would just throw, I'm sure the neighbors were thrilled, he would throw these huge parties. Cops once found guns and weed, and now he's selling it. It's a five-bedroom, six-bath pad. He wants $1.8 for it.
Dang.
He bought it 5 years ago for $1.1 million. It's 6,200 square feet, has a pool, spa, guest house. Oh, it's gorgeous. Here's
He made bank off that show.
Here's a... Well, sure he did. Yep. Chumlee. Like most dudes who work in a pawn store, they're not buying $1.8 million houses.
Wow.
So when they searched his house in 2016, they found more than... How much is 120 grams of weed? That sounds like a lot. And 12 guns.
Well, so what was an eighth used to be 3.5 grams, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's a healthy amount of
weed. Yeah, that's a lot of pot. You're a dealer if you've got that much pot.
Or you're just throwing massive parties and you're rich. You want that lifetime supply, Vinny, a garbage bag full of weed.
I always did want to have a big supply. Mm. That's true.
They in the listing of the home, which is talking about all the specs, and it has something called the Chum Chum Room. Stripper pole included. Mm.
What do we know about the life of dubage? Like, can it go bad, dry out, become less stony?
Dry out, probably.
Does it?
I've never had weed long enough for that to happen.
You've had it get moldy?
Yeah. Well, I never smoke it, so when I have a friend who had cancer and grew some plants, gave us a bunch of weed, and it was super, like, kind of moist, and, you know, I'm like, oh, great, well, nice, we've got
like
some.
Good stuff. You mean moist as in sticky and good?
Yeah, I'm sure it was good. We put it away, you know, where the kids couldn't find it, and then one time I was like, someone was over, I'm like, oh, I got there's some weed, and it was like, I don't know, 6 months later. And I pulled it down, and it was like a huge clump of mold.
Oh, it went bad in 6 months.
It was moist, so I assume like bacteria grew on it, and it just became a moldy mess. I think you have to airtight it, and I guess I didn't. But it can totally dry out, right? Because haven't you ever had that stuff that just sort of crumples into powder?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but the weed I was buying back then was, you know, dirt, basically.
Right.
It was the garbage you got. We used to drive to Santa Ana, and you'd go to these parts of town that were awful places you'd never want to go.
You needed your weed, Vinny.
That's the only place you could buy $5 worth or a dime. I'll take a dime, $10 bill.
Will you sell me one doobie?
But yeah, that stuff was ugh.
Yeah. Well, anyway, you had 120 grams and a chum chum room. The AMA is putting out a new study. They were given 202 brains of deceased football players.
Oh.
And of those, 111 of them played in the NFL. So the thing about this study, though, is that the people who gave the NFL players brains, donated them, they suspected that these people might have brain trauma and this CTE, which is chronic traumatic encephalopathy. It's the degenerative brain disease linked to repeated blows to the head. So,
which they say some of these men who've killed themselves or had other serious health effects, they got it from their time playing football.
Right. And they say it actually doesn't even manifest until years later. And but the families would have seen symptoms of brain damage. It can cause all kinds of problems, memory loss, confusion, depression, dementia. Of the 111 brains of NFL players who had people who had played professionally, 110 of them were found to have had CTE. Only one of the brains had no signs of the disease, and they were players from everybody from the quarterback to the person who took the heaviest amount of tackles. So 99%. It's pretty shocking. About 1,200 other NFL players have died since they started looking at the brains, and even if all of them were negative for CTE, if you include the 110 that were positive, that's still 9%, which is vastly higher than what's in the general population. They can only diagnose it after death because they have to
look at your brain.
The brains in the study were from players as young as 23 and as old as 89 from virtually every position. And they've identified a lot of the players whose brains were used, and there are even some images of their brains, but some of them did not want to be publicly identified. And if you count the ones who didn't play in the NFL, the CTE rate was 88%, 177 out of the 202 brains that they looked at had CTE.
It's going to be interesting to see how these studies affect the future of football, as with many of us grew up with football.
Right.
I love it, and I love it less now than I used to because the way teams move and there's all this weirdness. You don't sort of cheer for your team. You cheer for your team's uniform because you don't even know who's wearing it anymore. So that's changed it a lot for me. But the idea that you see football players or other athletes saying, I would never let my kid play football. Like, won't let him.
Well, and any, you know, mother or father who hears a story like this goes, no, I'm sorry, you're not. And Jeremy Newbery was on CBS this morning talking about this.
Oh, yeah, he's a champion.
And he
this.
Was saying, listen, I played my first game of tackle football when I was like 11 years old, and now they're making kids as young as 5 do this. Like, it's ridiculous. Your brain isn't even fully formed. I would suspect that that's going to be the long-term impact, is that people just aren't going to let their kids play football anymore.
Well, but there'll always be someone who will say, I need money. Mm. And that's the only way I'm going to get the kind of money that I would like to have.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point, I don't know where the write-off will be that if you play this sport, this is what you're taking on.
Right. Well, and I'm sure they'll have to sign away their rights to sue. If you play this, this will happen to you. I mean, basically, like 100% of those brains that play, they had the thought.
Here's the real problem with that. How many times? Okay. Here's a perfect example. You knew not to smoke.
Right.
We all knew not to smoke.
Yep.
And there you are at 18 saying, I'll quit when it's time. I don't
know. Yeah, I'll have no problem quitting.
It's not going to be a thing. And then there you are smoking, and then there you are married to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the addiction factor is a little different as an example, but all young people think it won't happen to them is my point.
And they all will sign on the dotted line, and the NFL will say, thank you. Thank you for your brain. Thank you for your service.
And we're talking about this story as NFL is just making the news again, and I'm already frothing for it.
I know. I do love football. All right, what's coming up?
So much stuff, including the best big city to live in, which turns out it's not that big a city.
Oh.
Okay. Ghost makes the news. You believe in those?
I do not.
Oh, all right. And more after these. Radio.com.
The Radio Alice Report.
What's up, everyone? This Alice Report is brought to you by All Natural Stone in Burlingame, San Jose,
and Dublin.
So we were just doing the story about the CTE story, the brain disease that it seems is caused by trauma to the head, repeated trauma to the head, which happens in football.
Yep.
It's part of the game. And yet, football's back in the news because football's back, and man.
Training camp, preseason.
I'm already excited.
I know.
I'm sure.
It's great. It's a really short season, you know? It feels like, oh man, there's only like 16 games or something.
16 games, right.
Or 16 weeks, whatever it is. There's more games than that. But it's great. It's like and even if you don't like football that much, like, I don't care that much about football, but it's like a fun day at our house. Like, John's all excited, and we get everything done, and we get ready, and he makes chili or whatever.
Yeah, it's super cool.
It's great.
So football's back is that's it.
Football's back.
End of story. Next story.
Watch those noggins, guys. Thank you for your sacrifice.
And by the way, I'm a Niners guy. I'll just say this first off. I'm a Niners guy, but man, the team to watch this year is going to be the Raiders. They're going to be good.
That's the buzz.
Britain is going to ban all new petrol and diesel cars and vans from 2040 amid fears that rising levels of nitrogen oxide pose a major risk to public health. So we are starting to see countries make a commitment.
Setting a date. No more petrol cars.
Remove them completely.
Yeah.
I guess the French have already taken on the commitment to remove gas cars from the roads. I don't have their date, the pledge they've made.
Well, the good news about this, not only is it, you know, great for the environment. It's that people who own electric cars are going to have more options for charging, and there'll be faster charging and that kind of thing, which does still rely on, you know, I mean, you're using the electrical grid to do that, and that isn't by and large powered by fossil fuels. I mean, sure, there's solar and wind that's and water that's included in that as well, but that is still, you're still burning something at one end or another. But it's, because right now it can be really inconvenient to have. You do have a limit, and you can't go get gas. You have to charge the car, and it does take time.
Well, it wouldn't hurt us to have less people on the roads. The limits for the electric cars would keep people from making frivolous drives.
Right. Mm. Oh, and just the fact that you'd, you know, want to keep that thing all charged up for when you do need it.
France is saying 2040.
Oh, so the same exact year.
They're all aiming for 2040.
I think it's great. I'll tell you something I've thought about before, and I haven't, I'm not well traveled, so I don't know enough about the countries where we get the bulk of our fuel or our oil from. But these countries you often see are the they've got wonderful palaces, but have they built the kind of infrastructure with this incredible piles of cash they have that when the oil dries up, that they're going to be in a position to really continue as a country and as people to thrive. And I don't know if they have. Well, I don't know if...
Venezuela is a perfect example of that, right? They are totally cash poor because the price of oil has gone down. They're a huge producer, and it's been like they're in huge turmoil and the calling for the government to be... I mean, it's nuts. But like, you know, the Middle East, if all the oil, all of a sudden there's no demand for that, these super rich people in these super rich countries
that I mean, haven't spent it on ways to keep your country
moving
relevant
in other ways, right,
are going to find themselves.
If that's your product,
tripping.
You're in trouble.
I mean, they've got to at least start. At least now you'd think they'd start going, you know what? No more gold sinks.
Yeah, right.
We're going to have to cut back on some of the gold we keep buying. You know what?
The problem is the people there were never benefiting from it anyway. It's the very few who were.
Well, that's
know,
my point.
Right?
They haven't put infrastructure in. These kings and
sheiks and
whatever they are,
whatever
they haven't
they are.
Put things in position for these countries to continue to thrive after the oil's gone. Right. I guess they figure it never would stop. But as you see, countries are starting to say, we're going to turn that off soon.
So there, I just looked up. America is one of the world's largest oil producers. Close to 40% is met here at home. The others come from Canada, Saudi Arabia, Mexico, Venezuela, and Nigeria.
Russia is also, I think.
I think they have oil reserves.
Well, anyway, well, we'll see how that affects these countries.
Well, maybe they should start looking into being the world's biggest producer of solar panels. You would think. In the Middle East, where, you know, I think of that as being deserty. I'm sure I'm wrong because I thought Germany was going to be gray and cold. like, go solar. Like, all you have is sun there. Like, you know, start pipelining that out.
That was funny.
Thank you.
Well, it's hard to, that's what I'm saying. It's hard to know from our seat here exactly what it is. Maybe they do have wonderful infrastructure
Maybe
in
they do.
Kuwait.
Maybe. It's possible.
The best big city to live in.
Big city.
In America.
Merca. Now, you said you were surprised, and this isn't that big of a city.
Right, it's
the
not.
The best city to live in. Let's
the population
this.
Of this city is 450,000.
So it's a middle-sized
That's
city.
That's tiny. That's
so
small.
So is it somewhere like Portland?
It's Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Oh. What's so great about that place?
I don't know.
I've
I
never
guess
even been there.
They say it's the 43rd largest city in our country. The population is 450,000, which isn't big. But
that's still the 43rd largest city? I'm amazed that you dropped from 8 million in Manhattan or whatever the number is to 430,000. It's crazy.
Why?
Are you... And it just seems like that would be way further down the list.
Well, let's
see.
There
would be way more big cities.
I think Eugene is considered, where I lived, Eugene, Oregon, is considered like market 140th or something.
And how many people are there?
Only like 250,000.
Like year-round visitors, or year-round residents? Because the colleges, I would think, would be...
Yeah, I don't know how they...
They say the population
that.
As of last year was 166,000.
In Eugene?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, geez. So I it's even less than I thought. Well, you know what? I think that I'm thinking Eugene-Springfield, which they sort of...
Combine.
Right. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Virginia Beach is the number one best big city to live in. They include things like Cost of living, taxes, jobs, entertainment, safety, sports, weather, commute times. Seattle came in second.
Really?
I'm looking at Virginia Beach. It's not that great. I've seen way better beach cities than this.
Pittsburgh came in third.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
It's so cold there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not that great.
Yeah, I don't know about
they
that.
You got a great team, though. Go Steelers.
Your play sucks, but I love your team.
San Diego, Colorado Springs, Austin, Minneapolis, Las Vegas, Denver, and San Jose comes in at number 10.
San Jose.
The absolute worst big city to live in America is Detroit.
Yeah, I've heard that.
They just can't win.
Can't.
I know.
Memphis, St. Louis, Baltimore, Fresno, California. Indianapolis, Long Beach, California, Santa Ana, California, Miami, and Cleveland, all among the 10 worst big cities to live in.
Virginia People. Beach.
Do you believe in ghosts?
I don't.
You believe in ghosts?
I don't know if I do.
All right. So you're
I believe in getting scared.
You're open
scared,
to
though.
The idea.
I am open to it.
What about you?
I do not at all. No possibility do I believe there is a ghost.
Is that different yet, from a spirit? I mean,
yeah, no.
Well, what do you mean a spirit?
Yeah, what do you mean?
Well, I don't know. There's times where...
Are you talking about a belief in God or a belief in... Because ghosts, no. The guy in the blanket with the holes. Ooh, no, I do not believe that's there.
Yeah.
You believe in like angels and stuff?
I do.
Yeah.
I think that's the same. You believe in ghosts then.
Okay.
Oh, really?
I think so.
You think it's the same?
Is it an angel, a dead person?
I don't know. My mom believes in angels,
watching
though.
You from heaven?
Yeah, I believe like... When I particularly do something that I have a particular person watching over me.
Yeah, my mom will tell you, if you were to ask her, she would say, the only reason this boy's alive is because he has an angel.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd be pointing right at me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there it is. I think that, to me, that's the angels and ghosts kind of the same thing.
Okay.
But whoa. What happened?
You all right, buddy?
I just closed my drawer.
What, are you leaving?
He was getting his pistachios. Are you getting your pistachios, him and...
No.
Anyway,
yeah, you are.
My missus says she's seen a ghost.
Oh,
truly says it, believes it.
Like, what was the situation?
It was in the house where she lived at the time. She saw the ghost, and she'll tell the story the same each time she tells it, so it doesn't. And I find her to be a really reasonable,
very logical.
She's not dramatic. Yeah. No. She's actually kind of on the quieter side, so it's out of character for her to say something like that.
So she believes she saw
believes she
ghosts.
Saw a ghost.
Let's call her.
People in Thailand, Pattaya. People in Thailand were. Walking on the beach on Monday night when they spotted something out in the water.
Oh.
It was bright white, shaped like a human, floating just off the shore. And they all had the same report. We saw a ghost. So they called the cops. The police got multiple calls.
Well, they were supposed to call Ghostbusters. Hello?
Who are you going to call?
Who saw a ghost?
What are the police going to do? Shoot it?
When the cops got there, you know, from multiple reports of a ghost out over the water.
Was it still there?
It was just a pale chick, skinny dipping.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah.
Oh.
40-year-old Chinese tourist named Zhang Yan. After a night of drinking and partying, she decided to go skinny dipping. And something about the view from the beach and her out over the water made everyone think they were seeing a ghost.
Oh. Maybe it was one of those sandbar places, you know, where you can walk and walk and walk and walk and you're still in knee-deep water. Was she like an albino with white hair and stuff, too?
Called her a Chinese lady with pale skin.
Oh.
Skinny dipping.
So no ghost this time.
False alarm. Ghosts. It's too bad.
The cops get her?
Yeah, the cops took her back to her room and decided not to charge her with any crimes. Is this wrong?
Yep.
Hold on.
It is, if you have to ask.
A 51-year-old guy named Timothy McDing.
McDing.
Took his wife to the grocery store in East Sussex, England, back on Valentine's Day. he stayed in the car with the dog while she went inside to shop.
So far, everything's okay, except, you know, it's not really romantic to take your wife to the grocery store on Valentine's Day. So far, that's the only thing I'm seeing.
While in the car, he got bored, so he decided to pass the time.
Oh, it's wrong.
It's romance. It's Valentine's
it's
Day.
He right. wanted the to dog s- does not need to see that.
Dog right. didn't mind. The dog was like, "I've seen that before. It's fine.
Probably
I'm gonna go lay down
right.
in the back seat, and let you do your thing."
And the people in the other cars have probably seen it before too. McDing.
That's it, though. Unfortunately, someone saw him and called the cops, so he was arrested for public indecency. He's in the car, though.
It's wrong.
He was in court and told the judge he really didn't think anyone was going to see him, and he's mortified over the whole thing.
What did the judge say?
Did he get in trouble?
No.
He was sentenced to counseling and a small fine, but he won't have to register as a sex offender, which could have been.
That's lucky.
Yeah, it is. You don't want that.
That's on you, and it's sticky and gross.
And then you know what you have to do every time it comes up that you're registered is you'd have to explain. It's like in that movie. What was that movie?
Horrible
Bad Bosses.
Yeah.
Where
it was night, the middle of the night. I was just peeing near a kid's park. No, I'm a sex offender.
Every time he's got to tell the story.
Everyone goes, uh-huh.
Right.
Really, I'm buddy. Sure that's what it was.
Yeah, uh-huh. Mm. Tell it walking. Our text number is 800-400-3697. Weed does, 415 says, weed does last a long time, but the potency will decrease with age. And Sarah's right. It will get gross and moldy fast if it was fresh and put in an airtight bag. It needs to be dry for storage.
Oh.
Forensic chemist listener number one.
Well, thank you, forensic chemist listener. It's nice to know you're out there in case we have questions like that. I feel like with all our listeners, like that, we have experts in every field. Whenever anything comes up that we're we don't know. Like someone will text us and be like, okay, dummies, here's how it goes.
707 says, 120 grams is nothing. It's less than an ounce. I buy
it
that
is?
Once a week. That ain't bleep.
Oh.
Dang.
Less than an ounce?
Huh. Huh.
Yeah. Surprise. Surprised to hear that. Seems like a lot. 120 sounds like a
big
number.
707 is... They roll big ones because that's a lot of pot. Seriously, we used to make do with an eighth.
Right. An eighth of an ounce.
Yeah.
How many grams is that?
3.5 grams. You'd get an eighth and you'd make that last.
Well, then it is more than an ounce. They're saying it's maybe they just don't know how to convert from the metric system.
I don't know. Didn't you used to buy the eighth size? It was about 2 fingers. Along the bottom.
We just called it a dime bag, and it was whatever they said cost $10, and we were like,
yeah,
super
dime bag's
to
even
have
smaller.
It.
Yeah, that's like less than an eighth. Way less. Half of an eighth. Do I know too much about this?
Yeah, no.
I haven't smoked pot in a long time.
Pot's
for the
legal
record.
Now. Fine. You can talk about it all you want. I might start talking about it once it's legal.
What do you mean?
I'd never talk about weed.
Oh. I used to really
you
like
guys,
it.
Like maybe yesterday in the office about how I got all tweaked out. And long, I was a child. Don't do it, kids.
That's not true.
I know.
You said you did it on a trip just the other day.
Can you please stop it? I was trying to cover my ass.
That was for off air.
Yeah, it was for off air, eh?
You just brought it up. I wasn't even talking about that. Let's take a break.
Right.
Sarah and Vinny. Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity? Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us 3 times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.